Everyone is, I'm sure, very well aware, we have a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and it already began a long time ago, on the first night, on the second night of Pesach. There's a machlokes ha-poskim, b'zman hazeh, is Sfiras HaOmer de'oraisa, or is it de'rabanan? When it says in the pasuk that we begin to count from the miyoyim ha-aviyachem es ha-Omer, the question is, does it mean that we must literally bring the carbon HaOmer in order to trigger the mitzvah?
Or does it, the counting?
Every single person does the counting. This is not like Bez. This is not
the
Shemitah.
No.
You're confusing Shemitah with regard.
No, there was a chiyuv on the Kohanim to go out the second night to cut the field, right?
Was it on the Kohanim? The Mishnah discussed the procedure. Who went out to the field? I guess the Kohanim went out to the fields. Yeah. But does it have to be the Kohanim? I don't think so. It doesn't have to be the Kohanim. The Kohanim.
It had to be some. I think you could you do it on Shabbat on Yom.
Yes, Tif? Yes, it's Doicha Yom Tif. Yes, yes, it is Doicha Yom Tif. Yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
It's not. It is. If it was Shabbos. Let's say the second day of Yom came out on Shabbos. It was done Mitzoy. The procedure was done Mitzoy. Mitzoy Yom Tov Rishon. Mitzoy Yom Tov Rishon, the first day of Pesach, after Tzeis HaKochavim, they would go out to the field. They had a place that was designated, that was guarded, that they would harvest the grain. The Mishnayos discuss all of the details, exactly how much grain they would harvest. They would go out at night, and they would harvest it. I don't remember the details. And they would then bring it in, and in the morning, when in the morning they would offer the barley, a mincha of barley on the Mizbeach. Now, what happens if the second day of Pesach is Shabbos? Are they allowed to cut the Omer on Shabbos? So I don't remember. It's a whole Gemara. The Gemara has a whole discussion on this. There's a very elaborate Gemara. It makes many drushes. I don't remember. I forget everything. This is a discussion. The question is, when the Torah says that the counting of the Omer, miyoyim ha'aviyachem es ha'omer, from the day that you bring the Omer, tisperu, you shall count 50 days. How do you understand that pasuk? Do you understand the pasuk from the day that you bring the Omer, meaning you must bring the Omer? If you do not actually bring a mincha, a meal offering of barley, on the second day of Pesach, in the Beis HaMikdash, then there is no need, there is no trigger to count the next 50 days, because there was no Omer. Or do we say that being that the pasuk says from the day that you bring the Omer, the Torah does not demand that the Omer be actually brought. The trigger to obligate every single individual to count 50 days starts with the calendar day, not with the actual offering of the Omer. On the day, miyom haviyachem es ha-Omer, from the day that you bring the Omer. Even if you don't bring the Omer, it just has to be from the day that you bring the Omer. So this is a machlokes rishonim. All of the rishonim get involved in this discussion. The vast majority conclude that b'zman hazeh, the counting of the Omer is only rabbinic. When the pasuk says, from the day that we bring the Omer, the understanding is you must actually bring the Omer in order to trigger the obligation to count the next 50 days. It's not biblical. And being that it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, there are many nafkaminas. And probably the most significant nafkamina is when is the earliest time to count the Omer. If we were to hold that the Zman of the Omer, that the counting of the Omer today is de'oraisa, a biblical obligation, we would be required to be strict and not count the Omer until it's Vadai Tzeis HaKochavim. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, you do not do Malacha on Shabbos over until, let's say, I think most people here would not do Malacha until 50 minutes after sunset. Likewise, you would not be permitted to count, you cannot say that you fulfilled the mitzvah of counting the Omer until 50 minutes after sunset. But if you take the position that Bizman HaZeh, the Omer, is only Midrabanan, then you can be lenient and you can already count the Omer much earlier, even 35 minutes, because it's not a biblical mitzvah. Now, what's very interesting is to reflect upon if it's derais or it's midrabanan is the recital of the l'shem yichud. Every shul has a different custom, but many shuls, they recite a l'shem yichud before they count the omer. And in the l'shem yichud, they say l'shem yichud kudsha b'lichu shchide b'dechilu urechimu liyachet shem yudke b'vavke b'yichud eshtum shem kol yishol hirani muchna mezuman. I am now preparing myself. I am preparing myself l'kayem, to fulfill mitzvahs asei, a positive commandment, shel sefiras ha'omer. Kimoi shakosuv v'torah, usefartem lochem, you shall count for yourselves, mimocharas ha'shabbos, the day after the first day of Pesach. The first day of Pesach is called Shabbos. Miyoim, from the day, haviachem, you bring es omer hatenufa, the omer that is waved, sheva shabbos es tmimos tiena. Now, if you take these words literally, to me it certainly sounds like that you're making a statement before you begin counting the Omer that the mitzvah of the Omer is a mitzvah d'oraisa bizman hazeh. Isn't that what it sounds like to you? Isn't that the impression the average person gets when they read the L'shem Yichud? When you read the L'shem Yichud, it sounds like you're saying, I'm now about to prepare to mekayim a mitzvah asay. Mina Torah, a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment to count the Omer. Excuse me, what you're about to do is not a positive commandment from the Torah, because there is no Omer in this year. The Omer, the facts are, the Omer was not brought. So how dare you recite every single night that you're hereby preparing to fulfill the mitzvah saseh? It's not a mitzvah saseh, because there was no Omer. So what are you doing? So some will tell you that if this was a mitzvah saseh, it would say mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah. There are two missing words from the L'shem Yichud. If really we meant to say that it was min ha-Torah, we would say explicitly min ha-Torah. We say like it says, but we don't say the word min ha-Torah. When it comes to tefillin, let's look at the L'shem Yichud for tefillin. The L'shem Yichud for tefillin, what do we say? L'shem Yichud, it says b'hanochas tefillin l'kayim mitzvahs bori. That's not a good example. The mitzvah of my Creator, shetzivanu, He has commanded us l'aniach tefillin kakosu b'sarosu.
How about lulav?
Okay, what do we say for? I don't say. What do you say for lulav? What do you say?
I don't
know,
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, so let's see. Let me go look at the Siddur. Let's see if my Siddur has a lulav.
One of the few times that I would say it.
Let's take a look at lulav. Okay, mincha.
It's part of it.
All right, let's. Give me one moment to turn the pages. Not too good at turning pages in the Siddur. Shalosh Regalim. Looking for Hallel.
Right here, by Hallel.
I am, right here. Here we go. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Yirat Zayin. Okay, there's not a L'shem yet, but there's the Yirat. Yirat Zayin L'fnach Hashem L'kayim L'kayosai. B'friyei Tzadar V'kapas Tamadim V'anaf Yitzavos. Let's see. I'm running through over here. No.
No.
It doesn't. It's not. It's a very bizarre l'shem. It's a yehi rotzon. This is not a l'shem yichud. It's not. They don't have here in this litvisha siddur a real l'shem yichud for. You have to go look in the chasidisha siddur. Any event, it's a controversial thing. Some strongly object to the recital of the l'shem yichud before reciting sfira, because the L'shem Yichud certainly gives you the impression that you are hereby about to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now you'll ask the question, so what? Who cares? If in your mind it's d'oraisa, no harm done. Okay, don't cry over spilled milk. Who cares? No, it makes a difference. Because there are many rishonim that hold a very important halacha, and we spoke about this in many of the applications. If a person, today, does a mitzvah that is a drabanan with the intent, with the kavana, that it is a mitzvah d'oraisa, some hold he has violated a loisase d'oraisa of Baal Tosef. If it's only a mitzvah derabanan and your kavana is that it should be deraisa, you have done a terrible avera. You have added
there's
to the commandments.
There's always an element of the deraisa and the rabbanon because the chachamim have the power to legislate and tell us what to do.
Although the rabban have a power to legislate, but they don't have the power to upgrade what is only a derabanan to a level of a deraisa. And if a person does a mitzvah that is only midrabanan with an intent, an understanding, that's derabanan. Okay, but it's not deraisa. Asher ki deshanu b'mitzvah, so you have commanded us, but it's not on the level, you're not explicitly saying that it is deraisa. When you start quoting psukim, in the l'shem yichud, you're creating the impression that this is biblical. When is this very relevant? We had this discussion every year. We talk about this every year. Is when it comes to zechiras mechias amalek, when they make the announcement on Shabbos Parsha Zohar that we are now about to read the parsha of Zohar. So many rabbanim, they make an announcement. The mitzvah of reading the section is a mitzvah de'oraisa, and therefore everyone should have kavana, because we hold mitzvahs tzrichos kavana when it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. There are many other rabbanim that strongly object to that announcement, because not everyone holds that today, in our day and age, reading Parsha Zohar is a mitzvah de'oraisa. Because today you can't do the mitzvah. The purpose of reading about this mitzvah is in order to pick yourself up after shul is over and go home and kill someone. I don't see people doing that. When davening is over, do you see people after you hear, don't forget, Mocho emche, timche, zecher amalek. Lo tishkach. Did you ever see someone run out of shul and go grab a weapon and find his local Amaleki and murder him in cold blood? I never saw that happen.
If we would be sure that somebody is an Amaleki, we might have that.
So, but we don't know who the Amaleki are, so we don't do it. If you don't do it, and we can't do it, so reminding someone to do it, according to many opinions, cannot possibly qualify as a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you tell someone to do something they can't do, that's not called a mitzvah. That cannot be called a mitzvah d'oraisa. B'zman hazeh, it's only midrabanan. Therefore, by making an announcement that you should do the mitzvah, that everyone should have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, you're doing a disservice for your congregation, because you are falsely telling them that this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, whereas according to many, it's not d'oraisa, it's only midrabanan. And if they're having an intent to do a mitzvah d'rabanan on a biblical level, that is a violation of adding to the mitzvahs of the Torah, bal tosef. So it's not, so what should you say? Say it's a mitzvah d'rabanan. Everyone should have in mind to be mekayim the mitzvah d'rabanan of mechias amalek. That's also no good, because according to many, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Just because you can't, there's no call for action, doesn't matter. Just to remember is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So if you tell someone to do what is truly a mitzvah d'oraisa and downgrade it to a rabbinic obligation, that is a violation of Bal Tigra. Do not diminish from the mitzvahs of the Torah. So whatever you do is no good. So the best thing is, don't make an announcement. Just tell everyone, have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Period. Have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Don't enter into the world of lamdas, deraisa, derabanan, because whatever you say is no good. You just make an announcement. We're now about to do a mitzvah. Pay attention. Finished. There's no need to elaborate. Everyone will get out of shul 30 seconds faster. Don't make announcements. And then what's very funny is they make an announcement, Shav Kavana, that the Baracha of the oile is the bracha on the mitzvah. Whoever said that? And the bracha acharona is also, that's really off the charts, to say that the bracha acharona of the oile counts as the bracha. Where did you get that from? It gets more and more bizarre. The longer the announcements goes, the more bizarre. Thank you very much for the coffee. Enjoy. The longer the announcement goes, the more bizarre the halacha becomes. The best thing is, you're saying, we're now about to do a mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias Amalek, and everyone should pay attention. That's the end. That's the perfect announcement. Under the chuppah, I'll give you another example. Go to a wedding. So they make an announcement. We hereby designate Reuven and Shimon to be the witnesses, to be the Edim for this matrimony, to the exclusion of all others in this room. Why did you say that? To the exclusion? Well, just in case, you know, there are relatives here in the room. There are relatives. And if there are relatives in the room, if they're also watching and having intent, so they become one group. If they become one group, the law is if you have a group of witnesses, one witness that's a korov, a relative, or guess what, maybe someone here is a ganaf. Maybe in the audience, could you imagine you go to a wedding, there are 400 people, could you imagine someone in the audience might be a ganaf? Is it possible such a thing? Never heard such a thing before. And if they're watching the wedding, so they're going to join to the witnesses, it's going to be a one big group, and if one witness is invalid, then it disqualifies the entire testimony, so that this couple will be living in sin for the rest of their lives. They got married without valid witnesses. That is why I announced under the chuppah that these two people, Reuven and Shimon, are the witnesses to the exclusion of all others. That's not a very good idea to do that. Because, you know, it could happen that Reuven and Shimon are also invalid. Maybe Reuven, maybe he's a ganaf. Maybe they made a mistake. It happens sometimes. People don't know the halacha. They call up a relative. Or they call up all types of situations.
What's the pin?
So what's the solution? So what happens if you don't say to the exclusion? So then there's a rule. If you're getting married in a wedding hall and there are a few hundred people, the people who are present, who are qualified to be witnesses, they're the witnesses. And the people who are not qualified to be witnesses are not the witnesses. But the people who are qualified to be the witnesses are not standing in the front and the photographer is not telling them to focus. Who says they have to see? They have to see the chosen put the ring on the finger with precision. Who says that's a requirement? You go to a wedding and they make an announcement and they get married and they break the cup. They got married. That's enough. You have to see with precision. You have to have a cataract surgery before you go to watch the chosen put the ring on the kala. You're in the room. You're in the room and you see what's going on, a general view of what's taking place. There's a girl wearing a white dress and there's a chassan that's very nervous and they're standing there in the front and they go and you hear him vaguely say Rebbe Mekudeshes and you see him move and say, it's enough. So it turns out that more often than not,
a lot of Rabbanim wouldn't agree with you there because I was at a wedding where Rabbi Alman made them do the ring again because he's looking.
Okay, obviously, l'chatchila, you're going to do it perfect. You're going to make it.
The bride wouldn't let go of the ring. They had a problem. She didn't understand.
Obviously, l'chatchila, you're going to do it as good as you can. You'll do it again and again. But after the fact, let's say it's 5 years later, and they're looking through the wedding pictures, and they look at the witnesses, and someone says, what? He was a witness? He's your uncle. How in the world did you call up your uncle to be a witness? What kind of amaratzis is this? He had a Masadeh Kedushin. This happens all the time. An uncle can't be a witness. How in the world did that happen? Happens all the time. Or let's say they find out the guy's in jail. Rahman al-Utslan. He's in jail. And when did he commit the crime? Well, go look at what happened. At the wedding, he was a fine person, but then they discovered that he committed the crime a year ago. And he was a ganef. He was not kosher leedus. So what? So now you've been married for 5 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 50 years. Well, you're not married? You're living in sin for 50 years? After the fact, we say, listen, they weren't the only witnesses. Look at the pictures. In the picture book, there were hundreds of people at the wedding. They're also witnesses. After the fact, not a lechatchila, but after the fact, you don't want to say that the chasan and kala were living in sin their whole life. They were married. They need a get after the fact. If under the chuppah they made an announcement that these two people are the witnesses to the exclusion of all others, you're looking for trouble. You're really looking for trouble. It's not a good idea. Less is more. It's always the way it is. So here we have a beautiful Hashem Yichud, and we're saying over here, L'kayim mitzvahs asay, k'moy shekosav ha-Torah, u'sefartim l'chem yimachos ha-Shabbos. I don't know about you, but to me, it sure sounds like it's saying we're now about to fulfill a mitzvah de'oraisa of Sfiras Ha'omer. And when the pasuk says miyoyim haviyachem es ha'omer, it means from the day that the omer was brought. Really? Daraisa? Most of the Rishonim accept as a given that today it's only a mitzvah derabanan. And if you're having kavan to do a derabanan as a daraisa, you're getting yourself involved in the question of Baal Tosef. And what time is it now? It's only 30 minutes after sunset. We don't do that. When it comes to do a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you have to wait 50 minutes after sunset. So this l'shem yichud before the sfira is controversial. It's controversial. Now some want to say that for that exact reason. Let's make a
Rabbi, can I just ask a question?
Yes.
You said there was a question about Zechira Samalek. The pasuk says Zachor es Asher Asalacha Loi Tishkach. The mitzvah is to remember,
it
not
says,
to forget. How can it's open words in the Torah? How can
the
Hoya
Ki Yivyacha? The mitzvah goes further. The Hoya Ki Yivyacha Shalachach La'arit Asher Hashem Nosilach. Timche es zecher Amalek. There are instructions in the pasuk. The pasuk goes further.
If you have an opportunity, fine. But if you don't have an opportunity, it's still to remember.
Okay, that's the debate. This is not my idea. This is a very big debate. This is an ancient debate. What are the parameters of the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek?
But there were six, and we say at the end of Shachar's,
Zechirais, Sheish
Zechirais. But the only one which says Zohar al Tishkach is the one about Amalek.
But it says clearly the pasuk. It says clearly Mochoit.
Timche,
you shall obliterate.
It says Timche.
Timche, there's an explicit instruction. Timche, obliterate as Zecher Amalek. The Torah is giving you instructions. There are instructions. What could I mean, this is an age-old debate. So therefore, this order point. This is a controversial l'shem yichud. Some want to suggest
the
solace. Yeah.
The same sitter that has the controversial hineni muchank by Sviras Omer by lulav. It says ki ilu ki amtia. You know, let this service that I'm about to perform as if. You know, even though it's not, but let it be as if I'm doing it, because okay, obviously it's not lulav and esrog the way the mitzvah is, but it should be like that. It's the same siddur that has both.
Only the first day is a daraisa. Only the
I
first
have
day.
The siddur over here has the l'shem yichud for sfira, but it doesn't say that you be. It doesn't even mention the psukim. It just says. B'dechilu rechimu, you know, in other words, it skirts the issue that you're being mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa. It doesn't say that.
Okay.
It just says that, you know, all right, I'm being mekayim a mitzvah now to count sfira, but not not the way it says it in the Torah. It doesn't mention that at all.
Some want to suggest that it's for this exact reason we're very makbid, we should be very makbid, at the conclusion of the reciting Sfira to say the Harachamon. Harachamon hu yachazir lanu avoidas beis hamikdash l'mekoyma b'mehera v'yameinu amein selah. Well, since when do you say Harachamon besides benching? But it's not common to do something like this. Why when it comes to Sfira do we recite, do we make this recital? The answer is, the flavor of the Harachamon indicates that it's that there is no mitzvah b'zman hazeh. We ask Hashem to restore the service. Yachaz yilonu avoidas beis hamikdash l'mekoma. There's no Omer today. There's no Shtei Lechem. We don't have it. Who are we fooling? We make it clear that this is just practice. This is just a zecher. Zecher l'mikdash. We introduce Zecher L'Mikdash here to emphasize that the mitzvah today is only rabbinic. What do you mean it's rabbinic? You just said a L'Shem Yichud that very clearly seems to say that it's biblical. We're playing both sides of the fence, of the game. We're trying to accomplish both.
It says Asher Kiddushanu.
That's Dirabanan. That's Midrabanan. Asher kiddushan b'mitzvah sav, it's a sanctification of a mitzvah, whether it's rabbinic or it's biblical. Every single mitzvah we do, whether it's a rabbinic mitzvah, whether it's a biblical mitzvah, we make the same bracha. That's not a question. Asher kiddushan b'mitzvah sav tzivanu, Hashem has sanctified us and commanded us with his mitzvahs, and even though many of the mitzvahs that we recite a bracha d'rabbanan, that is biblical. They have been given the authority to give us mitzvahs to Rabbanan. But that is that statement, the nusach of the bracha does not indicate in any way whatsoever that it's biblical or rabbinic. That's a generic form for a bracha which catches rabbinic and biblical mitzvahs. There is no indication in the recital of the bracha if it's rabbinic or biblical. But when you start reciting L'Shem Yichud, the flavor of the L'Shem Yichud that we recite that is very common is it's biblical. To compensate and to put us in the right frame of mind that it's not biblical is to say Harachamon hu yachazir lanu avoidas beis hamikdash l'mekoma b'mehera v'yameinu amen selah, which is the balance. And knowing in advance that we're going to say the Harachamon, because we do it every single day, it creates a certain balance which puts us in the right frame of mind. We're doing the mitzvah. It has elements that are biblical, elements that are rabbinic. We're not trying to decide. We're doing the mitzvah. Whatever it is, it is. It's not our problem. It's not our problem. In Lomdis, so we'll go to Beis Medrash, we'll have a shir, we'll learn about it. But when it comes to practical Judaism, don't confuse me. We're doing the mitzvah. There are biblical elements, there are rabbinic elements, and we're doing the mitzvah. We present both, and whatever it is, we're not here to decide. We're not here to have the wrong kavana. We're here to do the right thing the best that we can. Okay, that's one basic principle.
In both cases, we say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu l'adhir.
Every mitzvah. Every mitzvah, the same nusach. The nusach of the bracha is not an issue. The nusach of the bracha is by matzah, you say the raisa, and you say the same nusach by Chanukah. You say by every single mitzvah, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, it's the same nusach habracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. That's not a problem. The problem comes when we start to embellish the mitzvah with more words. And once you start saying things, you start making problems. I remember this very interesting as a child that my sisters in elementary school, they would sing. I don't think we did this when I was in elementary school, but before they benched, they would sing L'Shem Yichud. I remember in camp we would do this. While they were passing around the Mayim Achronim, for benching, there's a melody. I don't remember it anymore. There's a melody that they would sing. Hinini muchon mazuman makayim to Mekayim the mitzvah of Birchas Hamaz. Let me see if they have it over here in the article sitter. Let me turn quickly. I don't say this in the Mekayim, but let's see if they have it over here. I don't see it here. Okay, in the article Sidur, I don't see it. No, I'm sorry, it is here. It is here. Hinani mukhur mazuman lekayem mitzvas asei shel birkas hamazoin. Shenemar v'yachalto v'savato v'rachtas Hashem l'kechalo v'zatov asher nosan loch. So I remember as a child that in the girls' school, they would sing this. Girls like to sing. So they sing the benching, and they like to sing the Hinani mukhur mazuman because I guess they hear it at home. So the girls, they would sing the Hinani mukhur mazuman. That was what they did in school. Every day in little kids, they take them out to the dining room. They sing the Hinani mukhur mazuman. And then one day, I remember hearing that the teacher told them that she asked the rabbi. I don't even know who the rabbi is. Rabbi Kahn, Rabbi Aaron Kahn, over here on East 8th, how many years this goes back, on East 18th Street. The Agra de Pirka, Rabbi Kahn. Because my sisters went on the Lower East Side to the Beis Yaakov, and Rebbetzin Kahn was their principal. I think it was Rebbetzin Kahn told them, if I remember correctly, they should stop singing the Hinani Muchon Umezuman. Why? Because there are many opinions who hold that women are not chayiv in Birchas Hamazon. Because in Birchas Hamazon, you are required to say, No dilcha Hashem Elokeinu al shenchad lozim eretz chem tovrechava v'al shenchad eretz chem de tovrechava v'al shenchad lozim eretz chem. We mentioned there bris mila. Bris mila. Brischa shechasamta biv sorenu. The bris mila which you have sealed in our flesh. Noshim don't have bris mila. And the Gemara has a drasha, that if you don't say bris mila, you don't make mention of bris mila in birkas hamazon, you do not fulfill your obligation. It is essential. What's the connection? I don't know, not for now. But that's the rule. The rule is the birkas hamazon must make mention of bris mila. Noshim do not have an obligation to recite to have no mitzvah of bris mila, period. Therefore, it affects their obligation to recite Birkas Hamazon on a biblical level. Now, there is no question on a rabbinic level, they have a very strong obligation to recite Birkas Hamazon, and probably many opinions hold that chayiv even midaraisa. But there are a significant number of opinions that say they're not chayiv midaraisa because of bris mila. Therefore, if they will recite the Hinani Muchon Umezuman, they're asking for trouble because they don't have a mitzvah deraisa. So therefore, they should not recite the Hinani Muchon Umezuman. Lekayim mitzvah asei. Hinani Muchon Umezuman. Lekayim mitzvah asei. Shel birkas hamazoin. Shenemar. V'yachalta v'savata v'rachtas Hashem v'yachal arstav asher nasan loch. Not women, because they're not chayv in bris mila. And they're not chayv in bris mila that affects their biblical obligation. So, there's another example. The more you say, the more you're asking for trouble. I'll give you another example. Rav Herschel Schacht, if I'm not mistaken, holds that it's a disservice to the community where many of the Haggadahs have injected a Hinani Muchon Umezuman immediately before each one of the Dalid Kosos. Specifically, if you look at your Haggadah, you will notice many of your Haggadahs before you recite Boirei Pri Hagofen, we recite Boirei Pri Hagofen four times, Lel Pesach. And that's a special takana. Ordinarily, it will be a Bracha Levatala. You can't just go, oh, tonight we're going to have a wine tasting event. And before every bottle of wine, we're going to recite Boirei Pri Hagofen. No such thing. You know, I can't do that. It's a bracha levatola. It's a special takana, the lel seder, kenega the dalakoyesis, the otseis of yitzalti, the galti vilakachta. You recite Boreya Priyagofen four times. And Chazal positioned the Bor Priya Gofen in a very precise location. And the second Bor Priya Gofen is recited after you say the Baruch Vasher Goalonu. For you to inject a L'shem Yichud after you finish Asher Goalonu, before you say Bor Priya Gofen, Rav Herschel Schechter holds is a hefsek. It's a terrible hefsek. That's not part of the bracha. That's not part of the procedure. It's a very nice thing to say L'shem Yichud, but it has to be done in the right time and the right place. That's not the place to say it. You're being mafsik between in the location where Chazal you made Asher Goalanu, you make the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and now you say Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem Melech Olam Baruch Priya Gofen. Finished. You're not mafsik. You're not allowed to be mafsik. And a L'shem Yichud is not a significant thing which is permitted to put there. It's not correct. So putting the L'shem Yichud there is a disservice. That's his opinion. Not everyone agrees to that. I had an interesting discussion with someone. I said, why, once you say that svara, let's say the same thing, let's say for Birchas HaMazon. Since by the Lil Seder, you drink the third cup, Chazal demanded that the third cup be the Bor Priya Gofen, should be recited immediately after you bench. So I was arguing with someone on Pesach, you should not say the Harachamans. After you finish the fourth bracha of Hatoyva HaMeitiv, after you say the words Le'olam Al Yicha Serenu, you should immediately say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Bor Priya Gofen, and you shouldn't even say Savri, you should just say Bor, right then and there, because if Chazal instituted that the third cup of Yayin should be said together with the Birkas HaMazon, that's where it belongs. The Harachamans are beautiful, and we all say it, and we all should say it, but this is something which came much, much later. This is a segula. Now that we've done the Mizdoraisa, so we ask Hashem for we have some requests to make. First, you say the Bor Priya Gofen, drink the fourth kos, the third kos, and then say the Harachamans. Now, what I'm saying, obviously, is very dangerous, because there's not even one Haggadah that you've ever seen that puts the Bor Priya Gofen after Al Yichasreinu and then it continues with the Harachamans. But why not? Why not? And certainly not the Siddur L'Shem Yichud. If Rav Herschel Schachter, I'm just expanding upon what Rav Herschel Schachter said, that if according to Rav Herschel Schachter that it's a hefsek for the second bracha, you make the bracha Asher Goalanu, so what's the difference? Birchas HaMazon is a special takana that the Bor Priya Gofen should be said together with the benching. The benching ends with Al Yichasreinu. That's where you say the Bor Priya Gofen. No harm done if you will say the Harachamans after you recite the Bor Priya Gofen. Okay, that's obviously not the minug. That's not the minug Yisrael. And the fact that all of the Haggadahs do print the L'shem Yichud in between the second and between the Goal Yisrael and Bor Priya Gofen is a statement that the Olam does not follow the stringency of Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. Okay, that's fine. This is a Das Yochid. But at least it brings out the point we're trying to make. More, less is more. Whenever we tamper, we're always looking for trouble. Parsha Zohar, when you make announcements, it's trouble. Noshim reciting Hirni Muchon is trouble. At the Seder, reciting extra things right before you say Bor Priya Gofen is trouble. Likewise, Sfira So'imer, reciting L'shem Yichud is trouble. Does the Olam do it? It depends where you go. I mean, it depends. I personally think that most places that they do not say L'shem Yichud, it's only because it's not nice to say, but I really believe it's just because they're lazy, not because they don't want to say the L'shem Yichud. Okay, by the Hasidim, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. The L'shem Yichud takes very long. For some reason, I don't know why, by Hasidim, the L'shem Yichud for Sfira Se'omer is a very big deal. It's a very, very big deal. You ever go to a Hasidish Shtibel, the L'shem Yichud takes even longer than the Shmona Esrei. Than davening Ma'ariv. Why? I really don't know why. in the Litvish places, the yeshivas, they don't say it. They don't say it. They don't even say the harach. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says you should say all of the things that says afterwards. Harachamon, lanatseach, onabekoyach. The Mishnah Berurah strongly endorses the recital of all of those sections that are said after the Sfira. I don't think he mentions L'shem Yichud. I don't think he mentions it. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't remember. But L'shem Yichud, for some reason, but if you go to, let's say, a regular shul, not a yeshiva, regular shul, why don't they say L'shem Yichud? Lazy. Nothing to do with anything. Just not interested. The rabbi says it, maybe someone else, a few people say it. Some people who have, have nothing better to do, so they say it. But the average person doesn't want to say it. Okay, that's obviously not a good thing. But the truth is, when you do say it, it has to be said with the proper frame of mind, that it's not necessarily a mitzvah d'oraisa. It is based, its foundation comes from a mitzvah d'oraisa. Does it apply b'zman hazeh? Maybe yes, maybe not. And it appears that, at least some suggest very strongly, that the way the harachamon came into play is in order to counteract the damage that the recital of the L'shem Yichud may cause for those that are not familiar with the halachic issues. Now, even as a proof to this, there's over here a very nice footnote over here by Tezner. By Tezner, in his wonderful sefer, he says something very fascinating. He says over here that in the Gemara, in the Gemara Masechta Menachos, the Gemara Masechta Menachos quotes the way Amemar. Amem was a very popular fellow in the Talmud Bavli. He's cited very often. And when Amemar counted the Sfira, he only counted the days. He did not count the weeks. Okay, a short Sfira. No need to count the weeks, just count the days. Why? What was he doing that for? So Omar, his friends were disturbed. Why are you only counting the days? Count the weeks also, like every other person. So he said, Omar, Zechel Mikdashus, Gemara Masechet Menachos, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Amemar mone yoime veloy mone shavue. Omar, he explained himself, Zechel Migdashu. It's only Zechel Migdash. It's not Bizman Hazeh biblical. Okay, the other opinions that disagree with him. But he said, it's only rabbinic. Rashi says, Perish Rashi, the leka oimer hilgach biyoime sage, it's enough. All of them, before she missed the question, okay, fine. It's only rabbinic. Just because it's rabbinic, well, you just can brush it off. What does it hurt you to say the Omer like a mensch? Fine, it's only rabbinic. Gesund to hate. It's not biblical. But so even if it's rabbinic, so say the days and the weeks. Today is 8 days in the Omer, which is 1 week. And 1 day in the Omer, what does it hurt you? And the Farshim answer, it cites the Lehoiros Nosan, one of the famous Achrayim, because that was his way of saying Harachamon. He held that if he were to say the days and the weeks, it would give the impression that it's a biblical mitzvah. You're going too far.
Pasuk says Sheva Shabbosos.
When there is an Omer, when you bring the carbon Omer, when you have barley, and you put the barley on the Mizbeach, then there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to count days and to count weeks. Amemar held that since in the time that he lived, and same for us, there is no Beis HaMikdash, and the carbon omer is not being offered, it was not offered, there is no biblical mitzvah in today's day and age to count 50 days. The mitzvah is linked to the bringing of the Karban Omer. If there is no Karban Omer, there is no mitzvah to count 50 days. So therefore he held, if he were to do the mitzvah in its ordinary fashion, by counting days and weeks, it would give the impression that it's a biblical mitzvah. And that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs. So he went out of his way to do the rabbinic mitzvah in his understanding that's only rabbinic in such a way where no one can say there's a clear distinction. This is not a biblical mitzvah. Because if it was a biblical mitzvah, I would count the weeks as well. Now, obviously, we don't accept that. We reject a Amemar in Halacha. We count the days and we count the weeks. But he made a good point. He does have a point that it's misleading. Is it really a biblical mitzvah? We primarily accept that Sfiras Omer in today is only rabbinic. So, but yet we go above a Amemar and we count weeks. But how do we compensate for that? That it should not give the wrong impression. We actually do what he did, what he said. Harachamon hu yachazir lanu avoidas beis hamigdash l'mekoma b'meher v'yamiru mein sela. We actually go and we make it clear as day that this is only a zeichel l'mikdash. Oh, but what about the opinions that say that counting of the Omer is biblical b'zman hazeh? So you know you say l'shem yichud also. You say l'shem yichud l'kayim mitzvah saseh. So it comes out. This is how I feel about it. I can't tell you. I can't tell anyone. Is that in this instance only by l'shem by Sfiras Omer, saying the l'shem yichud has an advantage. Because since there is such a debate if today it's biblical or rabbinic, by combining the L'Shem Yichud with the Harachamon, you are presenting the perfect balance. You are acknowledging that this mitzvah is rooted and may very well be a biblical mitzvah. But you also want to cover yourself. I know in this day and age, liability. That's the name of the game today. It used to be transparency. Today, there's no more transparency. Who cares about you? Today, you have to hide everything. Today, the new buzzword is liability. Right, Mark? Years ago, transparency. Today, who wants to be transparent? You want to hide everything today. No one should know nothing. Hide behind every... But liability, no school, no nothing, everything shut down. Case, maybe one in a million will get hurt, will get insulted. Maybe someone will get insulted. Liability, that's the name of the game. So here you have a modern example of liability. You have two disclaimers. You have the L'Shem Yichud, that's disclaimer number one. This may indeed be a mitzvah d'oraisa. And then you have a second disclaimer. This may be a mitzvah d'rabban. Harachmi yachazir lanu avodas beis hamikdash. So you have both. So you'll ask the question, why can't the two just cancel each other out? We'll get rid of the l'shem yichud and we'll get rid of the harachamon and just do it. Like I told you, when it comes to the parasha Zohar, just make an announcement. We're now about to be mekayim a mitzvah. Pay attention. You know why? Because when you count the days and the weeks, Amemar says you're going too far. That's already a statement that it's biblical. So we want to count days and weeks, but we don't want to get into trouble. So we have to have a double disclaimer. Ana al shem yichud in advance, lekayim mitzvah saseh, and a disclaimer at the end that it's only midrabanan. Okay, so these are some of the issues. We have this disclaimer is korech at the seder. Why do you say at the seder zecher lemikdash kihilo? kayim. Hayu korech matzah umorav yoichol biyachal lekayim. Ash nimer al matzais umirorim yochlu. Why? Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to make that statement? So he writes over here the same reason. It's basically a disclaimer. Because one can make a mistake and think that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you have to say there now, and you're taking now matzah and moror and eating it together, it says in the pasuk, al matzahs umirorim, it says in the pasuk, you eat them together, yochlu. It looks like you're being mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's not so simple. You don't want to get involved in these issues. And
how is it a d'oraisa? It says yochlu hu, you eat the korban pesach together. As long as you don't have the korban pesach, how can it be a d'oraisa?
You're giving the impression even without the korban pesach, you do what you can do. L'chatchila, you should have all three. If you don't have three, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to combine whatever you can. Matzah and moror, that would also be sufficient to combine. That's the impression you're giving. That's the impression that you're giving by putting on the table the matzah and moror together. In order to show that, no, we're not looking for trouble. The recital of Zecher LeMikdash is said for the purpose of, this is not, let's make it clear as day, this is not a d'oraisa. There's only...
That's why Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his Haggadah says, you're not supposed to say Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, they were there as instructions, not to say when you eat it.
What do you mean as instructions?
In other words, it's telling you what to do. This is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, but you don't recite it before you eat it.
Okay, all right, but it's the same idea.
After you eat it, it's telling you the reason you're doing it.
It's the same idea by saying that this is not, don't
right.
Misconstrue this as a biblical obligation. It's only a
correct.
Rabbinic obligation.
Yeah, yeah. He said this is just so you know why you're doing something.
Okay, so these are some of these issues. Okay, now, before we go further, I want to tell you a little bit of a drush, but just very quickly, I found it very interesting, this nusach. Arachamon hu yachazir lanu avoidas beis hamikdash limikoyma b'meher of yomein v'mein tzelo. What's the word limikoyma? Why do you say that? Limikoyma. We had enough makoyms already. No. What's the word limikoyma? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, what's the word? So I vaguely remember hearing that the reason why you say Lim Koyma, it's picking up on the words of Nechama we say at a base of it. HaMakom Yinachem Eschem B'soch Sharveli Tzion V'Rusholoyim. Whenever we do something that is a Zecher LeMikdash, it brings a feeling of tzar, of mourning, that we are in a state of avelos because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We are in exile. We're not where we should be. Thus, when we focus on something that's a Zecher LeMikdash, by design, Chazal selected the word LeMikoymo to its place as a reminder of the expression of HaMokom Yinachem Eschem. It's the same idea. The word HaMokom is the word that's always used in reference to comfort. And there's a very painful vart that is said in the Haggadah. Why does the Dalet Banim begin with the word HaMokom? Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanasan Torah Liyam Yisrael Bikdu Shosai. Baruch Hu. K'neged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. Why is the introduction to the Arba Banim with HaMokom? The answer is because the Arba Banim, they got problems. The Rasha is a very big nisayon. For a parent to have a child that's a Rasha, that's a very, very big challenge. And a parent needs comfort. He needs nechama. It's the same thing you say, Rachman al-Lasan, on the Beis Avel. The time is also no picnic, and the She'eni Yodei Elishol is also no picnic, and the Chacham is a wise guy. Okay, and give you many proofs that the Chacham is no tzaddikal at the Seder. The Chacham is a wise guy. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. And therefore, the opening of the Dalabanim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. Let me give you some comfort. Today you have a wise guy. You have a Rasha. He needs a dentist. Orthodontist. And you have a but don't worry, they'll grow up.
What's the chisaron?
They'll grow up. They'll become good people. What?
What's the chisaron in the tzaddik?
There's no, I said there is no tzaddik. There is no tzaddik at the seder.
The chacham, I'm sorry. What's the chisaron?
He's a wise guy.
Why?
If Mordechai Beanstalk wants to know, why am I so nasty to call the chacham a wise? I'll tell you, I think I told you that. I don't remember if I told you this far before Pesach. Is because the what does the chacham say? Let me give you. I don't think I told this to you. Let me tell you the vart very quickly. Let me introduce this vart with a very famous joke, very popular joke. Everyone knows there was a yeshiva called Navardik. The pre-war Europe, there was a yeshiva called Navardik, and Navardik they worked on Musa. They worked on humility. They would tell their students, you go into the hardware store and ask them for a loaf of bread. Could you imagine you go into the hardware store, go on Avenue, around the corner from Mayor Appeldorf, go to Ace Hardware, and you walk in there, you go up to the counter, and you say there in front of everyone standing around, can I please have a loaf of bread? Can I have some eggs, some milk? And everyone standing around there will look at you. You came from Mars. You escaped from a mental institution. And after you suffer the humility of asking them for a loaf of bread, go to Avenue M, to CAFS, and walk in there on a Friday afternoon when it's packed, and say very loud to the woman behind the counter, can I please have some 5 2x4s and a box of nails, 1-inch nails? And look at the expression of all the people standing around. It humbles you. That's what they told them to do in Navardik. So there was a new bacher in Navardik. He comes to Navardik. New bacher, first day in the yeshiva. He's sitting there and he's shuckling and he's saying to himself a million times, OCD, ich bin garnished. Ich bin garnished. Close his eyes. Größe kavan. Ich bin garnished. I'm a nothing. And there are two guys there that are sitting there watching this guy shuckle back and forth for half an hour. And they say to each other, look at this Meshuggah here. He's here only one day and he already thinks he's a nothing. Only one day, chutzpah. He's here only one day, he thinks already. He's the God, he's a nothing. Okay, so if Mordechai wants to know why did I have the chutzpah to call the Chacham a wise guy? Very simple. What does Chacham say? He says to his father, this kid is a kid. How old is this kid, the Chacham? What is he, 10 years old? His father, let's say he's 60 years old. Let's say his father is 45 years old. So he says to his father, father, moho edus, Hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. Hashem, our God. Dad, he's your God and he's my God. I'm a chacham, same God. We're equal. Dad, me and you are equal. We have the same relationship with Hashem. He's your God, he's my God. The father says to him, you idiot. I'm a lot older than you. Don't equate the relationship that I have with Hashem with the relationship that you have with Hashem. You're a newcomer. What do you know about Hashem? You know nothing about Hashem. Be quiet. Sit there in your seat and don't open up your mouth. What do you know? You know how Hashem runs the world. You're 10 years old. I've been through already a lot. I've had a lot of challenges in life. I've been through quite a bit of challenges to get where I am today. I've learned quite a bit about God that you don't know yet. don't equate me with you. Don't say Hashem Elokeinu. We're not buddy-buddy here. We have a different relationship. He's a mechutzef. And that's why the father says to him, tells him about the time of matzah. Af ata emerlo kilchas ha-pesach ein maftinach ha-pesach ha-vikoymin. After you eat, the taste should remain in your mouth. In other words, all you have of Hashem is maybe, if you're lucky, a taste. I have a dover sheyesh by mamish. I'm older than you. Relative to what you have, I have something tangible. My relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relative to your relationship, is something tangible. You have something intangible, just a little flavor, a little teeny understanding of Hashem. That's just one example. But many of the Mefarshim talk about this. The Chacham is a wise guy. Yisra Baruch HaMakom. So the word Baruch HaMakom represents Nechama. It's always a term that's used for Nechama. Nechama by the Haggadah. Nechama by Rachman L'Sen Lo'Eleinu by a Beis Avel. And also by the Sfira HaSoimer. HaRachamon Hu Yachazir Lanu Avoidas Beis HaMikdash L'Mikoyma. We insert the word Mokom. Now you'll ask me, why this mitzvah? Do we, every mitzvah to a degree is Zecher LeMikdash. Every mitzvah, you know, every mitzvah you do. Yeah, if there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's a whole different mitzvah. Okay, you have even a little of an Esrog. There's no little of an Esrog the other 6 days, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Raisa all 7 days. I mean, there's no limit. Every single mitzvah, there are elements of the mitzvah that had it been the Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden, when it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, you have to say L'makoyma. It's very simple. Because the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, it starts with the Beis HaMikdash and it ends with the Beis HaMikdash. It starts with the bring of the Omer and you count 50 days to the bringing of the Shtei HaLechem. You're sandwiched in between a time of the Beis HaMikdash and you don't have it. All of the mitzvahs, it's a day, it's an event, it's something that you do. So if you had a Beis HaMikdash, it would be different, it would be better, it would be different, it would be a different league. All right, you're not going to go focused every single day on the Chur Beis HaMikdash because it's Avelus Yeshana, it's old news. Get on with your life. Try to bring Mashiach, just live your life. Don't focus on the whole day on the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a healthy way to live. But a mitzvah that goes on for 50 days and the endpoints, the benchmarks, the bookmarks, okay, the end marks are Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash. You do an event, the Beis HaMikdash, and you count 50 days, and then you come to the Beis HaMikdash. The whole thing from beginning to end spans the Beis HaMikdash. And there is no Beis HaMikdash. Who are you fooling? What are you doing over here? That is where Chazal say, listen, you have to say, you have to focus on the Beis HaMikdash. If the beginning is the Beis HaMikdash, and the end is the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a 50-day period of time counting between the two, and there is no Beis HaMikdash, something is really fundamentally wrong. And this is a mitzvah which should get you thinking about what really should be the ideal, and therefore here is an ideal place to say the word mokoim. Okay, that's, I mean, it's a very basic approach. But in light of what we learned on Pesach, before Pesach, and I remember, I think there's another very simple idea. We learned, very quickly, we learned about the word mokoim. We presented this an idea in the end of Masechet Pesachim, Arei Pesachim. The Mishnah said, a very, very fascinating halacha, and the Rashbam, this is Mamash, if not for this Rashbam and Rashi, you could not say such a thing. It's the Mishnah, and the way the Mishnah is explained. The Mishnah says, if you have a group of people, who are eating the Korban Pesach together, and they all fall asleep. How could that be? I don't know. They all fall asleep. And they wake up. They are not permitted to continue eating the Korban Pesach. This is a Mishnah. This is not a Medrash. It's not a Gemara. It's not anything other than the real McCoy, a Mishnah. If you're eating the Korban Pesach with your friends, your family, and you all fall asleep, and you wake up, and on the table, you have a large portion left to eat, you're not allowed to eat it. You know why? Because there's a halacha. The halacha says that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two locations. Al toitze min habayis chutza. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two separate physical locations. This is a loisase. You may not take the Pesach and start in this room and finish it in a different room. Also, that's biblical law. So the Mishnah says, according to the Perush of the Rashbam, that if you go to sleep and you wake up, it's as if you have gone to a new location. It's an incredible concept. Sleeping, going to sleep, breaks the momentum to such a degree, this Hesech Hadas, when you awake, you are considered to be in a new location, even though you have not left the Dalet Amos. The physical location is the same. It is considered in the world of halacha as if you're eating the Korban Pesach in two separate locations. Sleep is the ultimate Hesech Hadas. It's the ultimate separator. It separates. Now, with that in mind, it's interesting why we would use the word, we would borrow the word makom and cleverly insert it into the Sfiras HaOmer, because the whole goal of Sfiras HaOmer is consistency, not to break the momentum. 50 days, temimois, usfartem lochem chamishim yoim, shiva shavuos, temimois, I've got all the psukim, but it has to be a perfect counting. There is no break allowed. If you miss one day of Sfira, you can't count with the bracha anymore. So when we say, and what is the ultimate break? The ultimate break is going to sleep. When a person goes to sleep, it's no longer called one mokim. You're in two mokimis. Harachamon hu yachazir avoidas beis hamikdash limekoima, to its place. Why do we refer to the Beis HaMikdash as a place in this particular context? Because the word Mokoyim also has a connotation, one continuous stretch. There is no break. Once there is a break in the mind has been distracted, you go to sleep, it's not called one mokoyim. When you resume, you're in a new mokoyim. The goal of Sfiras HaOmer is it should be a complete, seamless counting without any hefsek, any break. It should be like one mokoyim. Just like the Beis HaMikdash is the mokoyim HaShel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we said when we learned this, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. Hinei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called by the term mokoyim. Because once a person goes to sleep and awakes, he is no longer in the same mokoyim. That's what it says explicitly in the Mishnah. If you go to sleep and you wake up, you can't eat the Korban Pesach anymore because now you're in a new mokoyim. What do you mean I'm in the same mokoyim? I'm in the same place. No, you're not. Once you go to sleep and you wake up, you are now in a new mokoyim. This is called mikoyimos, not mokoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know why he's called mokoyim? Baruch HaMokoyim, because Hashem, Hinei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem doesn't sleep. Hashem has no Hesech Hadas. When we're going on a mission to count 50 continuous days, consecutive days, without any Hesech Hadas, we need to connect to the power of Hashem's mokoyim. This concept of consistency and to continue to be one continuous stretch. Let's just now review some very basic halachas in the 2 minutes that we have left. If a person forgets to make a bracha on the night of the Sfira. So what does he do? The next morning he should say the Sfira without a bracha. If you say you only can make a bracha at night, if you do not count with a bracha at night, you are not permitted to count with a bracha by day, only at night. However, you should count by day without a bracha, and that will give you the ability to resume counting with a bracha at night. The person does not count at night and does not count by day at all, and then it comes the next night, there's nothing he can do. He cannot make a bracha. He should say the Sfira.
The source, a makar, which teaches us that we must make the bracha only at night.
What's the makar? Shulchan Aruch. What's the reason for the Shulchan Aruch? With some, I think it has to do with tamimos. Has to be a completeness. I believe the makar is, since in the din of Sefira, there's a din of tamimos. Tamimos means completeness. If you're missing a 12-hour period of time, that's already lacking in the shlemos, in the concept of tamimos, which prevents you from making the bracha anymore. The word tamimos is critical. Now, what happens if you count let's say you count, this is a very important halacha. This is very, very important halacha. People don't realize this. It's very easy. If a person does not count the right day, you make a mistake. If last night was 8, so instead of saying 8, you counted 7. And a person would not remember until the next night. So generally speaking, if you count the wrong day, it's as if you did not count, and you can no longer count. You can no longer count anymore if you count the wrong day. However, this is a very important exception, extremely important exception. That is, if you count the right week, you can still continue counting with the bracha. So this halacha is only really relevant the transition moments and the first 6 days. The first 6 days of Sfira, you don't count the week. Today's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. 7, you're going to say a week. If let's say, for example, last night, argument's sake, a person says, tonight is 9 days in the Omer, which is 1 week and 2 days. And he does not correct himself. He does not realize his mistake until tonight. He is permitted to continue counting with a bracha. Why? Because he counted the right week. As long as you still count the correct week, you can still count with a bracha. That's a very important leniency. If a person doesn't count at all, completely forgets to count until the next night, there's nothing you can do. From now on, you cannot count with a bracha. If you count the wrong day and the wrong week, too late, you can no longer count. If you count either, let's say it's very uncommon to count the right day in the wrong week. That's very rare, but it could happen. But if you either one of the two you do correctly, it's common to make a mistake and count the wrong day. But as long as you said the correct number of weeks, you can still continue counting with a baruch. It's a very important halacha. People don't know that. People think that once they missed it, they realize they made a mistake in the counting, that's it. They can know it's not true. As long as the week was correct. Now, the week does change on the transition points. Okay, on day 14, 21, 28, 35. On the transition points is where it gets a little dangerous. And the first 6 days where you don't have a week to begin with, that's where you're in a lot of trouble. If somebody asks you, it's already nighttime, what's tonight's Sfira? And you tell him, tonight is 9. It's okay. You can still count with a bracha. You shouldn't do that lechatchil. You should say, yesterday was 8. But if you by mistake say, tonight is Lag BaOmer. It's Lag BaOmer tonight. It's okay. You are permitted to count with a bracha. Because number one, you had no kavana. to say that. Also, what's very important is to say the Omer, in the Omer. So you say Lag BaOmer, that's a little more problematic. But even there, you can do it because you had no kavana. You had no kavana. But if you just say tonight is 10, tonight is 9, no problem. You can count with a bracha. You didn't count the way you're supposed to count it by saying the Omer, even though someone asks you, what's the Omer? So, of course, lechatchila, if somebody asks you, what's tonight, and it's already after Tzeisak HaChavim, or even after sunset, whatever, and he asks you, and you say, by him, and so you should say, yesterday was so-and-so. But if you slip, and you say, tonight is 9, it's okay. You can still, lechatchila, count with a bracha the following night. Do women count? Women are supposed to count. It's big, very interesting. Big machleg supposed to. Morgan Avram says it's interesting. It's like extreme polarization. Some opinions hold that women must count. It is critical. They must count. Oh, but it's a mitzvah shazman grama. So what? They have accepted it upon themselves from time immemorial to count. They must count, and today many women are very good at it, very good. Women are very good in counting all of your mistakes. They're very good at counting, women. And therefore, they're very good at counting Sfira, and they're very on top of it. But, and then other Poskim say shocking things. They say, the Mishnah Berurah says this, okay? The Mishnah Berurah says this. Women shouldn't count. You know why? Because it's certain they'll never make it to the finish line. Yeah, and men it is, and men are better, and therefore it's like a bracha levatala. The mitzvah is a lechatchila. It's a one shot deal. You got to go count every single night, 50 days, 49 days. If you know you're not going to make it to the finish line, don't start counting. Don't get yourself involved in making brachas on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, when you know you're not going to make it to the end, to the finish line. Shocking, right? Shocking to say that? Well, that's what it says. I didn't make this up. That's what it says. Women should not count, because it's vadai. They're not going to make it to the end. Now, today, all of the poskim say, don't take what it says seriously in the Mishnah Berurah, this particular halacha, because we live in very different times. The Chofetz Chaim was running for a very different generation, where women didn't leave the house, women, they didn't go to shul, women didn't have WhatsApp, and only get 50,000 reminders to count the Sfira, and there were no calendar. Today, we live in a very different world, and women count, they count the right day, so Adaraba. There is no harm done in women counting. And just the opposite, the Magen Avraham writes, it's a sacred minhag from time immemorial where women have accustomed themselves to count, and they should count, and not rely upon any lame excuse that it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. It's easy to count. It's an easy mitzvah to do. It's easy. Doesn't involve any money. Doesn't involve time. Doesn't involve effort. It's easy. There's no excuse for a woman not to count. And al achas kam v'kama ben b'nesh l'kal v'chama, there's no excuse for a man to make a mistake and not count the sphere. All right, there's a lot more, but let's leave it with this for now. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful day. I hope you all had a wonderful Yom Tov. And now it's time to go on a diet. Okay, Rabbi Yisai.
Have a nice day.
Be well. Thank you. Mayor, you're very quiet today. Where